Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the CMI School of Christ. And we're going to go ahead and continue with the great mercy of God. We are still in Genesis chapter 17, verses, I'm actually looking at verses 1 through 16. And what I did, I grouped some of the verses and gave them subtitles of my own. And we'll be looking at them in those groupings. The first one is verses 1 through 4. And my subtitle is El Shaddai and the Covenant. The next one is, the second grouping is verses 5 through 6. And I have El Shaddai and Abram's name change and the covenant. And then the next grouping is verses 7 through 9. I have El Shaddai, the covenant, and the seed. And the next grouping I have 10 through 14. And for the subtitle, I put El Shaddai, the covenant, and the circumcision on the eighth day. And the final grouping is verse 15 through 16. I have El Shaddai and Sarai's name change and the son. Now, I'm not sure if you caught it with my subtitles here, but pretty much the emphasis on this whole chapter, I believe, and from here on out, okay, not only in this chapter, Genesis chapter 17, but from this moment onward, the whole emphasis is upon this right here, El Shaddai. The Lord had appeared, had revealed himself, had made himself known to Abram from the very beginning, from when he was in Ur of the Chaldees, and also from once from when he first entered into the land, all right? The Lord appeared. But particularly right here in Genesis chapter 17, the Lord declares himself, reveals himself, makes himself known as El Shaddai. Up to that point, Abram has heard the word of the Lord. He has heard God speak to him. He has heard God give him promises concerning a land and a seed and an inheritance. And of course, we all know during this time, Abram, he has Ishmael. And in Abram's mind, and I would probably say the mind of Sarai, the mind of Hagar, the mind of the household of Abram, Abram has in his mind the fulfillment of everything that God spoke. And he's looking at Ishmael as that fulfillment. All right. Now, this, of course, is incorrect. And this is why the Lord takes the initiative. Well, it's not why he takes the initiative. He is just so merciful. He takes the initiative regardless of what we know, brothers and sisters, regardless of what we understand, regardless of what we think, regardless of our concept of that which he has spoken, our concept of that which he has promised, our concept of that which he hath declared, the Lord in his tender mercy and ever-abounding grace continually takes the initiative, regardless of man. All right, so what I want to do is just read those groupings with the subtitles that I gave them, and this is Genesis chapter 17, this is verses 1 through 4. El Shaddai and the covenant. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. I am El Shaddai. And to me, this name, El Shaddai, and I've probably covered this in previous classes, is the foundation of everything. It is the foundation of everything. Brothers and sisters, it's the found, he, not it, but he, Christ himself, the Messiah himself, the Lord himself, revealing himself as El Shaddai, he is the source, the foundation, the strength, the ability, the power, the abundance, the overabundance, the more than enough. Do you see? Do you see how important this declaration that the Lord is revealing himself at this moment is? Because right now, up to this point, Abram, as I said, Abram and his whole household is looking at Ishmael as the fulfillment of everything that God has declared and promised. Now, of course, we know that's not true. God knows that that's not true. And God is beginning to make known the truth. All right? El Shaddai, the foundation, the source. I'll even put that in there. The foundation, the source of everything. And of course, this is the Messiah. This is Jesus Christ. You take, here's some more of my notes that I actually jotted down, my comments. If you take Christ out of the picture, not only of here, but of anything, brothers and sisters, if you take Christ out of the picture, all you have is you. Man as the object, man as the source, man as the strength, man as the ability, man as the fruit, the flesh. That's all you have. And God would call that Ishmael. Now, of course, we know when Christ is placed and given his rightful place in our hearts, in our hearts, then unto us, we see him for whom and what he truly is. The foundation, the source of everything of God. All right, going on. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before my face. And I know we've covered it in previous classes. Very important. Walk before my face and be thou perfect. No longer walk before your face, the face of humanity, the face of man, producing the fruit, the results thereof, but walk before my face and be thou perfect. Verse 2. And I will make thee, I love this. This is El Shaddai, almighty, all-powerful, all-able, all-capable, abundant, self-sufficient, all-sufficient God. I will make my covenant between me and thee. Why? Because man cannot make this eternal covenant. Man cannot make an eternal covenant. Man cannot make an everlasting covenant. God and God alone. Between me and thee, and will multiply thee, and I will multiply thee. I will make you fruitful. I will produce the automatic results. Do you see just the summation of it all? The Apostle Paul said it this way, it is not I, but Christ who liveth in me. Not I, but Christ who liveth in me. He will do, he will perform, he. Not I, not man and man's ability, but El Shaddai. Verse 2 again, I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Okay, going on. The next group I have, verse 5 and 6, El Shaddai and Abram's name change and the covenant. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations I have made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come of thee. Okay. Abram, Strong's number 87, and then Abraham, Strong's number 85. Well, let's look at the word Abram. And it basically means exalted father. Exalted father. And this is what the Lord says, neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, exalted. No longer I, exalted father, but Christ is exalted in the heart. And I say in the heart, brothers and sisters, because Christ is exalted, whether we admit it, confess it, believe it, or not. The Lord is forever exalted. For us, the difference is whether in our hearts we see him as exalted. Whether our hearts, listen, are turned to below, unto what was, unto man, and exalting that false image, and that false image is exalted in our hearts, of something that is not present, or whether our heart is submitted unto the true image of God, the perfect, the only image of God, who is Christ himself. So Abram, no longer I, exalted father, but Christ is exalted in the heart. Once again, anytime you have a name change, brothers and sisters, all it means is simply this, not I, but Christ. Man cannot do this. Man cannot bring his own heart unto such a knowledge, unto such a wisdom, unto such an understanding, unto such a revelation of the Son. God and God alone can do this. Man has nowhere to boast, nowhere to glory, because man has no ability whatsoever when it comes to God and the things of God. All right. I have some more comments. Man no longer exalted in the heart, but Christ is exalted as the true King. And not so much in today's time, 2019, the year 2019, but in times past, older years when there were kings and queens, basically the king had ultimate rule. Listen, the king governed, and that was law, the law of the land. And so when the heart is turned to a false image, to an image that's not even present, you know, our idol, our concept, remember, our concept of everything that God hath spoken, our concept of everything that God has promised, and we are looking at our concept, our false image, we're actually, now in our hearts, we're actually bowing our knee. We're bowing down to that false image. And see, this is what Abram's father, Terah, did. He not only bowed down to false images, brothers and sisters, he created them and sold his concept. And people bought into it. So whatever might have been lingering in the heart of Abram, whether he realized it or not, the Lord, in his tender mercy and ever-abounding grace, takes the initiative and steps in. To present, to more fully declare, actually more clearly declare, more specifically declare, well, just to continue on declaring the true son, the true heir. Regardless if Abram has this true one in view or not. Okay. So, man no longer exalted in the heart, but Christ is exalted as the true king. The true king. When this happens in our own hearts, brothers and sisters, the automatic confession is not I, but Christ. Listen, not my mind, but the mind of another. Remember, the word of the king is law. The mind of the king is law. The king rules and reigns. The king comes with his kingdom, brothers and sisters, and the kingdom of God is present in those who are born again because the king himself is present, ruling, reigning, and governing. If it were not so, brothers and sisters, we would have no life. We would have no forgiveness of sins. We would have no salvation. We would have nothing if this were not true. But it is true because the King is present. And the Spirit of God, continually preparing the ground of the heart to draw the full attention of the heart and place it upon the King who is present. Listen, the one with ultimate and sovereign rule. All right, going on. Fruit is automatic of the one who is exalted in the heart. Man or Christ. Fruit is automatic of the one who is exalted in the heart, whether it be man or Christ. What is the heart turned unto? Is it turned unto man? Then the heart is submitted unto the mind of man and will bear the fruit thereof. Or by the work of the Holy Spirit, because this requires a miracle, brothers and sisters. I mean, this whole entire chapter from here onward, remember, El Shaddai. I mean, you can highlight whatever color you want from here onward. El Shaddai, the power, the only power, the Almighty, the only Almighty, God, requires a miracle. It requires God to do this. For the heart to turn unto Christ. Fruit is automatic of the one who is exalted in the heart. So to whatever degree, Abram, up to this point, he had the face of man in view. I mean, that is what it is, because the Lord says, I am Almighty God, walk before my face and be thou perfect. Walk before my face, not a false image, but the true, the only. All right? Going on. Genesis chapter 17, this is verse 7 through 9. El Shaddai, the covenant and the seed. Before I move on, verses 5 and 6, look at this. Neither shall thy name, this is the Lord declaring this. This is the Lord declaring and doing that which he hath declared, El Shaddai. Not only the one who declares, but who has the power to perform what he has declared. El Shaddai. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations, here we go, have I made thee. I have done this. Verse 6, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. You see, no longer man grumbling about, groveling about in his own ability, which is complete impotence, powerless, zero, but God having to do what no man can do. And he is only making known to Abram this. He's always been El Shaddai. Abram, up to this point, up to this moment, just didn't know it. All right. Verse 7. El Shaddai, the covenant and the seed. I love it. Once again, I will establish my covenant. If it is of God, God has to do it. That which God desires, requires, God himself must bring it to fruition. God himself must realize it. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed. And once again, that word seed is masculine singular, specifically Christ himself. After thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant. There you go. Everlasting covenant. This is something eternal. Not going to change. Not going to come to an end. No, everlasting, based upon the everlasting one, based upon the source, the fountain, the foundation of El Shaddai himself. All right, going on. Everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Verse 8, and I will give. I love that. I will give. That's going to play a real important part here in a second. I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant. And the word keep, we all know, is Strong's number 8104. Basically, it doesn't mean to do. God's not saying, and you will do my covenant. No, you'll keep it. You'll guard it. You'll keep it ever before your sight, before your mind, before your memory, before you. All right? And where were we? Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. Now, once again, verse 8, and I will give unto thee, to thy seed, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. Now, I looked up that word possession, and Brown Driver Briggs, it says, by right, possession, by right of inheritance. It goes on. Here's the Online Bible Hebrew Lexicon. Possession by inheritance. I have these. Excuse me. Give me a second. I have these. And I just wrote down the letters. I'm not sure what this one means. Also, the Concise Dictionary of Classical Hebrew. There it is. Possession, inheritance, property. Okay. I'm looking at inheritance because that word is showing up on all these, with these definitions, these particular definitions in these lexicons, for an everlasting inheritance. And just thinking about the word inheritance, I mean, I was just thinking about the word inheritance. There's two main things that are necessary with the word inheritance. One is that one needs to be born into a family. And the other, and these are the main things, one needs to be born into a family, and the other is that one needs to die. And here's a third thing that I just thought of. Typically, I would say an inheritance is received, like a last will and testament. And I give this to so-and-so, and I give this to so-and-so, and I give this to so-and-so. And right here, brothers and sisters, verse 8, this is El Shaddai himself speaking, and I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. Of course, we know that Christ himself died. And those of us who are indeed born again, we have been born into the family of God because of Christ himself. And now our soul has become, it truly is, it always was, the inheritance of the Son. And at the moment of new birth, we give him his inheritance. Now, for us who are born again, Christ himself, the Messiah himself, is our inheritance. And what a great inheritance he is. To look outside of Jesus Christ for anything of God would be looking in vain. Remember, Jesus said, they are they that testify of me. Then he goes on to say, and you will not come to me to find what you are looking for. And I'm paraphrasing that. John chapter 5, verse 39 through 40. The verse has been ingrained in my mind, in my heart. The one who walks before the face of El Shaddai no longer looks outside of Christ, the Messiah, to find anything of God. After this appearing and revealing of the Lord as El Shaddai, there are no more Ishmaels. Yes, I know Abram had some other sons, but in God's mind, there's only one, thy son, thine only Isaac. And I would have to confess that probably in Abraham's heart as well. Going on. Jesus said of Abraham, your father Abraham leaped in expectation to see my day. We've covered this in previous classes, leaped forward in expectation, in excitement to see my day. And he saw it and rejoiced. This is what Abraham lived for, brothers and sisters. This is the walk of faith. This is the journey of faith. All revolving around one. All right. Going on. And I will give. I will establish and I will give. There is El Shaddai. The next section grouping of verses, verses 10 through 14, I have El Shaddai, the covenant, and circumcision on the eighth day. I forgot to write those notes in. I was copying some of my Spanish notes. I apparently forgot to write all my comments for here, but I've got a couple that I'll remember. I think that's why I know that they're not there. All right, verse 10. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man, child among you, this has been verse 10. Every man, child among you shall be circumcised. Verse 11, and you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token, a sign of the covenant between me and you. Verse 12, and he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy, and I'll insert this, natural seed. Verse 13, he that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. Verse 14, and the uncircumcised man child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. I love that. All right, going through it again, I'm going to start making some comments. This is my covenant, which, verse 10, this is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and thee, me and you, and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. Basically, he goes on to define it here. You shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. It is cutting away the flesh. All right, going on. And it shall be a sign, a token of the covenant between me and you. Just real quick, let me go ahead and make this comment. Well, it's later on. I'll wait till we get to that verse, because that's where it's more evident. All right, a token, a sign of the covenant between me and you. Verse 12, and he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised. All right, I want us to consider this. I want us to think about this. The Lord said, and he that is 8 days old. He didn't say 8 weeks. He didn't say 8 months. He didn't say 8 years or 8 decades or 8 centuries. No, 8 days old. All right? Think about that. 8 days old. Now, what can an infant of 8 days old possibly do? Correct. Nothing. Well, you can say, well, he can eat. Well, he must be fed. excuse me. Pretty much the only thing that an infant of 8 days old can do is poop on their own. They can do that. But they have to be fed, brothers and sisters. So the only thing they can do is poop. Sorry, but it's true. Everything, look, they're completely and utterly dependent upon the ability of another. For they cannot do anything of themselves. El Shaddai. Jesus also said this, let the little children come unto me, for such is the kingdom. Why? Because they know they have no power to do anything for themselves. They trust in the ability of another. Going on. Shall be circumcised among you every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house, I love this, or bought with money of any stranger which is not of the seed, not of thy seed, and I added, not of thy natural seed, both Jew and Gentile. Once again to this eighth day circumcision. At the age of 8 days, the child, the infant, does not circumcise itself. Remember, pretty much the only thing that the infant of 8 days old can do is poop. Cannot circumcise itself, brothers and sisters. This is by the hand, by the power, by the ability of another. The Apostle Paul brought it all to Christ himself, the circumcision in Christ. This happened not in a linear timeline. No, this happened in the very instant the soul was born again. The flesh completely cut off because the Spirit is now present. Whose face is our heart beholding? Whose face is our heart walking before? If it is walking before the face of humanity, the face of mankind, then we have a false image in view. And we are necromancing, raising in our hearts, in our ignorance, that which God hath put away. But if by the work of the Holy Spirit, our hearts have the Son in view, the true King, the true seed, the true heir, and we confess, just as all the others did, but is specifically documented in the epistles, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who liveth in me. Not I, but Christ. The flesh having been cut away. And see, even with an infant of 8 days old, has no clue of what's taking place. Maybe later on, at a years, plural, years afterwards, maybe the parents will begin to declare, listen, the covenant by which they have been bound to God. To know the truth. I love that. All right. Going on. Verse 13. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised. Once again, Jew and Gentile. This is for whosoever will that is born again. Because it's all flesh, whether it be Jew or Gentile, if they're not born again, it's just flesh. Jesus said, that which is flesh, the flesh begets flesh, but that which is spirit, the spirit begets spirit. Therefore, Jesus says, you must be born again. Verse 13 again, he that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised. Listen to this. And my covenant shall be in your flesh, for an everlasting covenant. Okay. Just in the natural. Once a male child at the age of 8 days, I'm emphasizing days, brothers and sisters, the age of 8 days old, once this child, this male child, is circumcised, that's it. What do I mean by that? The flesh is not coming back. It's been cut off. Impossible to return. That is why it is a sign of the everlasting covenant that God Himself cut. Cannot be changed, cannot be undone. Once it is done, cannot be undone. What is it, or whose face does our heart have in view? Before whose face does our heart walk? Before the face of humanity, before the face of man, before the face of ignorance, before the face of a false image? Or before the face of El Shaddai, the Almighty, all-able, all-powerful, all-capable God? Think about this. Once the flesh is cut off, it's permanent. Cannot be undone. 8 days old. This was and is by the ability of another. Brothers and sisters, this one is El Shaddai, who doeth the operation. The operation of God. The Apostle John said, not being born of the flesh, nor of the will, nor of the mind of man, nor of the ability of man. No, but of God. Because once again, with man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. The last section here, grouping of verses, I have verse 15 and verse 16, El Shaddai and Sarai's name change, and the son. Verse 15, and God said to Abraham, his name is now Abraham. We must acknowledge what the Lord hath done. Amen. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. Verse 16, and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. And, well, I'll just make mention of this first off. There's an order here. The first is that there is a name change. It's found in verse 15. As for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. The Lord changes the name. Verse 16, once Sarai, once the heart of Sarai is submitted unto that, listen, true identity, not Sarai, but Sarah. We're going to look at this in a second. Then God says, I will bless her. And then the automatic, the fruit of such an identity. Okay, let's look at the name Sarai. We may have already looked at this. This Strong's number 8297, Sarai. This is Strong's dictionary, Hebrew and Chaldaic dictionary. Dominative. Basically, governing. governing. Who's governing? She's governing. We did look at this. She's governing. She's calling the shots. She's getting together with Abramson. Hey, we can do this. I figured it out on paper. I crossed my T's, dotted my I's, and I think we can do this. And the results are called Ishmael. Who's governing? Who's in charge here? I. But the Lord says, no longer I. No longer Sarai. The name Sarah, Strong's number 8283, the Brown Driver Briggs has Princess. Also the Kohlenberger Mounts, Princess. Also the Theological Word Book of the Old Testament, Princess. And one thing that I noticed in reading different dictionaries and lexicons, well, mainly just the lexicons, was here's the significance of this, with Sarai's name change. And for one thing, gosh, what was it? I can't even remember which commentary. It was either a commentary or a dictionary, forgive me. I didn't jot it down. But Sarai is the only woman in the Bible who had her name changed. I thought that was real interesting. I didn't even think about it. But you know what? It's true. But I want you to understand this, brothers and sisters. The context of the name being changed by God is always, always within reference to the seed, the true heir with whom the true covenant is. You take Christ out of the picture, you take the Messiah out of the picture, there is no changing of a name, there is no cutting away of the flesh, there is nothing. So here's the significance right here with Sarai's name being changed to Sarah. It is the same struggle as Jacob wrestled with an angel. And Jacob's name was changed from Jacob to Israel, Prince. Genesis chapter 32, verse 26 through 31. And remember the whole issue. Listen, the whole issue with Jacob was bless me. The angel said, he said nothing. Jacob says, I will not let you go until you bless me. So the angel finally says, you know what? He's not letting go. So here we have it. What is your name? What is the image you have before your heart? And he confesses, Jacob. The angel says, that's not true. No longer Jacob, but Israel. God knows the truth. And then the name is changed, and then he blesses him. And then the sun rises as Israel limps onward. And that's the thing, brothers and sisters. Because our hearts are directed unto a false image, we confess that false image to the Lord, and we say, Lord, this is the situation. Change this. Fix this. Improve this. And the Lord being so merciful, ever abounding with grace, when by the work of the Holy Spirit prepares the ground of our heart to such an extent, brings our heart from that ignorance that we call knowledge unto the eternal knowledge, who is Christ himself, the Lord shows our true life, us who are born again, our true life, who is Christ himself, and we confess, not I, but Christ. We are finally in agreement with the Almighty El Shaddai in what he hath, has, past tense, done, the moment of new birth. Remember, circumcision, 8 days, was done by the ability of another. Our salvation is not dependent upon our knowledge, brothers and sisters. Our salvation is the Lord. Our salvation is Christ himself, the Messiah. God knows the truth. And so even here with Sarai, her name being changed to Sarah, not I, not my government, which is man, humanity, the carnal mind, the natural religious mind of man, but Christ. And it, once again, I've got to stress this, it wasn't by her ability. It wasn't by what she heard from Abraham or Abram before then. It wasn't based upon Abram's testimony. It wasn't based upon her studying or her meditating or her thinking. No. Though all those things probably worked to prepare the ground of her heart for such an encounter with the Lord, it was El Shaddai and El Shaddai alone who caused this to happen. Remember, before Genesis chapter 17, it is all the ability of man. To whatever extent. And that's defined as Ishmael. Genesis chapter 17, the Lord in his tender mercy, ever-abounding grace, steps in, declares himself, I am El Shaddai. To the fullest extent, it will no longer be you, but I. Such a revealing of the Lord. Such a knowing of the Lord, such a walking before the face of the Lord. Everything, and yes, everything that God hath promised, everything that God hath declared, everything that God hath required, desired, God, listen to me, God and God alone hath performed and brought to fruition in the person of Christ Jesus, his Son, the Messiah. Realized in the Son, the fulfillment in the Son himself. So I was thinking about something and it's escaped my mind. To know, or I'll say it this way, the evidence the evidence, the only evidence there is that God hath fulfilled his word, that which he has spoken, that which he has promised. The evidence, brothers and sisters, is only found in the face of Jesus Christ, in the face of the Messiah, in the face of the Son of the living God. He is the evidence, brothers and sisters, that God has been able to fulfill all that he hath declared and promised. He himself is the evidence, brothers and sisters, and nothing less. Walk before my face and be thou perfect. So I'll end for this class. Lord bless. Please present everything that I've shared during this class. Present it to the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit can take that which he desires to take. Continue to prepare the ground of our heart for, let's say, God's expectation, for God's will, for God's purpose. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. We'll see you in our next class. Amen.